I didn't have too much time to prepare for this program, for this particular presentation. But the topic I chose to speak about is living with life's challenges. And I'm going through one of that right now. I have the request of your superiors and feelings of completely being unfit for something like this. So I humbly beg the Vaishnavas in the assembly to please offer their blessings that may I be able to represent the parampara properly, and may Krishna's desires be my desires as opposed to the opposite. So, it was a nice presentation by His Grace Sranga Thakur Prabhu. So living with life's challenges. I have some notes on my computer which we'll sort of go through. I had a abstract that went along with this, and it goes like this. So the material realm we find ourselves in is fraught with challenges, both internal and external. One with a materialistic mindset is constantly fighting against these challenges or trying to run away from them. However, great devotees exemplify how to address ourselves to such challenges such that one is minimally comfortable enough to have them and then ultimately feel deeply grateful for them, recognizing or appreciating the benevolent Lord behind the show. So what we're going to do is go through some principles that help us go from the sense of misfortune to the stage of acceptance and ultimately to feelings of gratitude and proactive service. Something that I would like that we take out of this discussion, at least, is an image that, or some sort of picture or a personality from Srimad Bhagavatam or from any of our other bhakti scriptures that help us to gain strength when we face a particular challenge. So, what I thought we'd begin with is kind of ask you, perhaps, what are some, if I were to say, living with life's challenges, okay, what would be an image that comes to your mind? Sorry? Kunti Devi. Okay, so is there a picture of Kunti Devi that you particularly remember, how she's maybe approaching Krishna? Is that it? Okay. Sorry? Living with life challenges like that? Okay. Nice. Louder, Mataji, please. Which part of a pastime are you talking about? When his sons died. Okay. Nice. Some others? Okay. Without you raising your hands, yes, we said Prahlad Maharaj. A particular image? Which one? Getting tortured by the ones where the BBT painting where he's got that tridents coming at him and the snakes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yes, please.
Srinivas Acharya, his desire to associate with the devotees of Lord Chaitanya and every personality that he is asked to go to somehow before he reaches them.
How painful.
And then, you know, he is invited to go to the next personality. That's very amazing. Hare Krishna.
First I thought of someone else, like Parikshit Maharaj.
But Kulavicha Sridhar.
Kulavicha Sridhar.
Yeah. I mean, everything about him was in his life was challenging. And yet, he was just very happy to be in Lord Chaitanya's service.
When we went to Mayapur in 2012, that one of the most powerful places for me was Golavecha Sridhar's kutir. That image is stuck with me. Okay. Gajendra. All right. You're on target, by the way. I'm going to speak about Gajendra today.
What did you say?
I was going to speak on Gajendra today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He offered the flower to Krishna.
Yeah.
When all else failed.
It's a powerful pastime.
Yeah.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Mataji? One last one.
Srila Prabhupada, like, whole life is like, you know, from the beginning to...
Is there a particular image that stays in your head?
Yeah, because when my wife is not cooperating, still he was not able to take...
So your image was his household life with his wife and... Good. And so given that image, now what are the categories of challenges that we experience in life? Or what are some of the challenges we experience? I was thinking, let's concentrate on categories. What are some of the buckets of challenges that we experience in our life? Health, physical issues, yeah?
Attentive chanting.
Attentive chanting. I think you're in the wrong class. Please don't. How to solve your attentive chanting problem? You got to bear with it. What can I say? Family challenge? I won't ask whether wife or parents or children. Yes, Mataji. Children, related children. Raising children in Krishna consciousness. That's a challenge. Just raising them. Sometimes just to get them out of bed is a problem. What to speak of? Mataji? Is a challenge. Wow, that's a nice one. I mean, a common one. Yeah. Accepting your boss or dealing with your boss? Yeah. The people that we have to deal with in our service, in this case, our workplace. You don't have any challenges as far as I know.
No, I don't have a challenge. I just don't have a
I thought you asked for categories of challenges.
Family, children, like that.
Oh, okay. Mm. You said physical or something.
Physical.
I was thinking mental or emotional challenges.
Are those around?
I have a lot of them.
Emotional challenges. Okay, that's a big one. And it's both, right? It's our own personal emotional challenges, perhaps helping another person with the challenges. He has to deal with mine, so... Yes, Mataji. Implementing what we... Application. So, okay. Application of Krishna consciousness. Last one. Because we could go on all day.
I have two. Consistency in Krishna consciousness. Same. So, application. And the other is the material energy in general, specifically Kali Yuga and the material...
Okay.
Like the material world, like...
That's a big category.
You know.
That puts everything in it. Okay. So to continue, before we continue, I was going to start speaking. So I want to offer my obeisances to the previous acharyas in Prabhupada. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Tripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavim Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So generally, how do we respond to challenges? So, I have a list, but you could. There's so many different ways that one could look at that. So one way that people respond to challenges is they don't acknowledge them even. They just get under the rug. And like Maharaj was saying yesterday morning, very nice. I mean, the statement that he said really hit me. He said that lack of self-honesty complicates the application of Krishna consciousness when Jai Jagannath Prabhu asked this question. So when we're not self-honest, then it really makes things complicated and we have more challenges. I actually remember this was a very short exchange, but it was a nice one. 2 years ago we came to Gitanagari and I met Jai Jagannath Prabhu. We usually don't spend too much time together, but I just saw him outside. It was the first day here. I said, Hare Krishna Prabhu, how are you? He says, okay. How are you? I said, okay. Then he said, that means we both are in Maya. because we both are suffering like anything. And we're thinking we're okay. Prabhupada gives the example that when you go to, there's a patient in a hospital. And you have the patient is, you know, has his leg hung by a sling and his entire body is wrapped in whatever they call it. And a friend walks in and says, oh, nice to see you. How are you doing? Oh, I'm okay. Or at work, when you meet people and you say, how are you doing? Good. How are you doing? Good. Sometimes when you say, how are you doing? They don't respond. They just keep walking. Right? It's just like, how you're doing is not a question, rather it's hello. Anyway, the world that we live in is filled with that lack of self-honesty. Another way that we do deal with challenges is that we kind of fight it. We get angry at it. Right. So sometimes nobody's brought this up, but perhaps. Maybe, you know, application, rising early in the morning, and the alarm rings, and then we hit that S button, and then you wait, you know we're going to wake up in 10 minutes or so, and then the next thing you know, it's about hour and a half later, and we get angry at the alarm clock. It didn't ring again. It didn't, you know, the snooze didn't come back on or something. We get angry at that. We get retaliate. Or another way we kind of, you know, put the energies elsewhere is that we fault find. An example of that in our scriptures, a nice one, is the wife of Chitraketu. So if you remember the Chitraketu pastime, I'm assuming most of you know the pastime, but in case you don't, he was a great king. I think Nityananda Prabhu talked about him. 10 million wives. And he had no child, and he really wanted a child, and somehow he got the benediction that he could get a child, but the child would be called Harshashoka, meaning half happiness, half distress or lamentation. He didn't get the message because he was so attached, which is typical for being attached. We don't hear. And then he went on to bear, or he went on to impregnate his first wife, and they got a child. named him Harshashoka. The queens, the 9 million, how many ever, remaining queens, got envious, and they killed the poor Harshashoka when he was a small boy, because she was getting all the attention, and they weren't. And so then, when Harshashoka died, the wife got really upset. The queen, she was so upset. And you know who she fall find with? She fall found with? Krishna. So much anger that she directed towards Krishna. Actually, fault finding is a quality that Bhaktivinoda Thakur categorizes as a weakness of heart in Harinam Chintamani. It's very interesting. It's a weakness of heart to do this. And in the opposite of that is Lord Brahma, when he's praying to Vishnu in the third canto, the prayers for creative energy, he prays to Vishnu that please give me the power or the strength of introspection. Because fault finding is looking out there and going, they're the cause. But introspection is returning inward. That takes strength. It really does. And somebody was saying consistent application of Krishna consciousness. That's what Krishna consciousness is, in one sense, is where continuously we're going deeper in our introspection, because we want to be free of any other motivation besides pleasing Krishna. So that strength of introspection is absolutely important. And when we don't have that, we naturally, just the tendency is to look outside for the fault find with another person, or group of persons and so forth. What really also helps with fault finding is when we have persons who we can trust and repose our issues with someone, and then they can help us look inside. Because it's not so easy looking inside. For those of us who've, practiced for some time. And by the way, I'm listing these. It's not that, we respond to a particular challenge with just one category and then another time another category. Because let's say we have a challenge at home, right? We fall fine with the spouse. And then we'll tuck it under the rug with the devotees. Oh, I'm a very good devotee, right? So it's lack of self-honesty with the devotees and anger or whatever else with people at home. So, it can mix of things, how we respond to challenges. Another is that we lament about it, right? We feel regretful, guilty, and that can be very draining, really draining. So I think Mataji's question was, how do you stop dwelling on those things that bring you down? So that's one way we respond to it. Another is that we just desperately try to fix it. Somehow. If there's a problem, no problem. I have fixed so many problems in my life, I'm going to go ahead and fix the next one. Right? That's known as kartaham iti manyate, Krishna explains. It's a prideful attitude. And in fact, Prahlad Maharaj, he gives us a clue that when you try to do that, you're actually causing more problem than you are solving the problem. And in Gajendra's story, we see the same thing. And we'll go through Gajendra's story as well. But when we try to retaliate against challenges, we're bringing our own downfall. He says, dukkhaushadam tat api dukham atadiyaham. Meaning that dukkha aushadam. So when we look for the aushadi means medicine. So aushadi, dukkha aushadi, when we're looking for the medicine for the challenge that we have, and if tat atadiyaham, if we're in bodily consciousness of mind, meaning I'm going to fix it, or I'm going to find my material resources to fix it, perhaps my own money, perhaps my friends, perhaps, in some cases the government, or whatever else, whatever resources we draw upon materially to try to fix the problem in bodily consciousness, api dukham. it actually causes more misery. So that's the doership mentality. In that doership mentality, sometimes we then, you know, if we don't go to the government for some pious people, then they choose to go to God. Let me go to Krishna, and that's a little better than, you know, not going to Krishna. But let me go to Krishna to solve my problem. Please come here, like you were saying. My desire, please make it your desire. You know, this issue here, my challenge, whatever the categories of challenge we all listed and more. My challenge here, God, can you come fix it? Krishna says it's not a bad thing, but it's a very neophyte mentality. There's a nice story of Prabhupada. One time, Prabhupada was in a train with his sannyasi disciples. They kept him in a first class compartment and isolated from the rest of the crowd. They didn't want anyone disturbing Prabhupada, because where Prabhupada went, he had throngs of people, you know, around him. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj especially was on guard. But then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was blocking the door, he went to use the bathroom. And lo and behold, in India, anyone sees a sadhu. Sadhu means blessings. And what kind of blessings? Material blessings. So these people, they sneaked into the door, two men, they ran towards Prabhupada. And by the time, you know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj could do anything, they were already sitting at Prabhupada's feet asking him, "Oh, Swamiji, please give us your blessings." He said, "What blessings do you want?" He said, "Oh, my knee has a bad problem, physical ailment. And, you know, my wife, you know, she's not very submissive, you know." And Prabhupada says, "If you want my blessings, I can give you blessings like these. I'll make you like these." These who? Savant class chica that didn't have any family or money or any place to live in and so forth. They immediately said, "No, thank you, Swamiji," and they ran away. Even that is generally how people approach challenges. "Krishna, please help me with my particular material problem." So let's go to Gajendra's pastime, because Gajendra shows us how one is in that consciousness of those people approaching Prabhupada, and he goes from that to acceptance of his situation. Pretty big challenge. He didn't have children to take care of, but you know, he had a big crocodile on his legs. I mean, it's different kind of challenge. And then from acceptance, it was beyond acceptance. He went into the realm of deeply feeling grateful. And it was a mood of service. So his example can show us the theme of our retreat that Maharaj has presented, acceptance and progress. Right? So how Gajendra from down here went to here and up there. Right? That progression. Because we may say, "Oh, Prahlad Maharaj, he's very exalted." Interestingly enough, I really appreciate, I've been studying Prahlad Maharaj's prayers recently, again. I really like his prayers. And as soon as Prahlad Maharaj is offering his prayers to Narsingadev, Narsingadev puts his paw, his transcendental paw on his head, and Prahlad Maharaj just burst into ecstasy. His heart feels completely cleansed, and with deep feelings of devotion, he starts to offer prayers to Lord Narsingadev. The first thing he says is, "I'm not qualified to even be offering you prayers, because all these demigods and so forth are certainly more qualified." The next thing he says, "Manne dhanabhi janarupa tapa shrutaujas," and the verse goes on. He says, "The only thing that can satisfy you, my Lord, is devotion. It's not dhana, it's not wealth, it's not, you know, prestige, it's not your power of one's power of influence, it's not one's sensory prowess, it's not one's being meticulous even, not one's yogic capabilities, it's not one's intelligence. The only thing that can satisfy you, my Lord, is devotion." And Gajendra had that. So even in Prahlad, so there's been a lot of discussion about Prahlad Maharaj, right? Who was on Prahlad Maharaj's mind when he was meeting, when he was speaking to Narsingadev? When he was put on stage and was asked to offer prayers to Lord Narsingadev, who was on his mind? Gajendra. Isn't that nice? So it shows, but he was, of course, even more advanced than Gajendra. Because, anyway, I'll tell Gajendra's story and then make the slight comparison. So, here is the verse that I wanted to share. That's on topic, living with life's challenges. This is Gajendra Moksha pastime, and specifically Shukadeva Goswami speaking. Okay. Prior to this, what happens is that Gajendra is this elephant. And in his previous life, he was a great devotee by the name of King Indradyumna. And as King Indradyumna, he left his kingdom and decided to take, sort of vanaprastha stage of life. And he was in the forest and he was performing meditation, so much so that he was oblivious to his surrounding. And a sage walked in, Agastya Muni. When Agastya Muni walked in, he was not able to pay him sufficient respect. And so Agastya Muni got offended. And he said, may you become dull like you are, not respecting a brahmana when they come to visit you. May you take a body of an elephant. He cursed him. And so the next life, he became an elephant, but he became an elephant in the heavenly planets. And specifically is described that in the heavenly planets, there's a mountain called Trikuta Mountain. It has three peaks, Trikuta Mountain. It's gold, silver, and iron. And in that Trikuta Mountain, it has a beautiful garden called the Ritumat Garden. And there's pages of description of what the beautiful mountain looks like, what the beautiful garden looks like. And there's, nice flowers and list of different flowers. Not like here, if you go to some sort of Walmart or some flower shop, you may get carnations and that's about it. This place had beautiful, like a long list of nice flowers you can offer to Krishna. Now, Gajendra was Gaja Indra. Indra means king. Gaja means elephant. And Gajendra was walking through the forest. And he was such a powerful elephant. He had a whole bunch of female elephants along with him, wives. And he also had, friends. And as he was walking towards the lake, where there was a lot of water that he wanted to quench his thirst along with his friends, animals would flee from his path because he was so powerful. And as he approached the lake and started to drink, they went inside the lake, and elephants do, they drank their water to their full satisfaction and they started to splash each other around. Now the living entities within the water, they started to feel a little disturbed. And especially the crocodile. And the king of crocodiles who was in the water said, how dare the elephant whatever he likes? He takes his big elephant jaws and holds on to Gajendra's leg, and he just holds on and he holds on and he holds on. And Gajendra is at a loss. He doesn't know what to do. And so his friends, all of the elephants that are there, they all try to help him. They try to get Gajendra out of the grasp of the crocodile. Just like in our situation, we might have people, money, etc., material assets that try to help us tug away from the challenge that we're experiencing. It didn't help Gajendra at all. Finally, they cried. It's described as his wives were crying and they left. Gajendra and the crocodile were fighting for 1,000 years. Yeah, that's a lot of time. 1,000 years. So and during that time, Gajendra was pulling him into the land because he was stronger on the land, and the crocodile was dragging him back into the water. Dukhaushadam tadapi dukham. What was happening? With him trying to fight the situation, Gajendra was not being nourished because his nourishment comes from land. And because of that, he was becoming weak, even though they were pretty much equal in strength. And the crocodile was in water. And the crocodile was getting, even though he was chomping on his leg, he was getting food through the other pores of his mouth that was in the lake. And he was feeling nourished. And so Gajendra and the crocodile started to, the shift of power started to move towards the crocodile, just because he was more nourished. Prabhupada says that we should always work from a position of strength. Sometimes people are very anxious to take up sannyas life. Prabhupada explains like that. People are very anxious to take up sannyas life. But sometimes it's better that someone stays as a grahastha, because in that stage of life, one is more strong to practice Krishna consciousness consistently to progress. So, Gajendra's example shows that. Dukhaushadam tadapi dukham. He was fighting and he was becoming weaker. Fighting and becoming weaker. To the point where he just accepted. And he said, you know what? I'm losing this battle. My friends, they couldn't help me. Even my wives couldn't help me. And then, you know, and I don't know what to do at this point. There's only one solution. So sometimes we may come to this realization. Look, I'm tired of fighting this problem in my life. Okay, fine, I'll just have to go pray to Krishna. What else can I do? Right? So out of power of, or the process of elimination, we choose to go to Krishna. It isn't our first on the list, right? We go to Krishna after trying everything. We try money, we try our friends, we try our own strength, we try our own minds. I'm going to control my mind today with attentive chanting. I'm going to control my mind today. As opposed to the first option, Krishna. Gajendra's last option was Krishna. I mean, he's exemplifying how we deal with challenges. It's so nice. And then he started to pray to Krishna. And by Krishna's mercy, his attention started to go to Krishna. He accepted the situation he was in. He stopped trying to fight it. He says, I'm just struggling with this crocodile. He stopped trying to fight it and his attention shifted to Krishna. This is where progress comes. So now watch how Gajendra's consciousness started to progress. When he turned his attention to Krishna, Krishna immediately gave him remembrance from his previous life of the prayers he used to chant. So he's used to chanting those specific prayers to the Lord. And then as he was making those prayers, he started to glorify the Lord. Oh, you are the source of this entire creation. You are the control of the time energy. You can do anything. My dear Lord, please get this crocodile off my leg. Please take this challenge away from me. And then he started to, as he was praying to Krishna, and because Krishna is like the sun, right? Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Tahan Nai Maya Adhikara. So wherever there's Krishna, there's no Maya. What was happening as his attention, because the progress is his attention was going to Krishna. And as his attention was going to Krishna, he was becoming purified. His consciousness was starting to be bathed with Krishna's, you know, the juice of Krishna consciousness. To the extent that he was starting to say, you know, those who are pure devotees don't even pray for liberation. But where I'm at, I'm actually looking for liberation. But now I don't want to continue my sense gratification life. Because it was described earlier, he was so steeped in sense gratification that his eyes were filled with intoxication as he was walking in the forest. I don't want that intoxicated life. I just want this crocodile off my leg and then I want to come back to you. This body that I have, this elephant body, I don't want to have it anymore. It's full of ignorance. What is the use of this material life anyway? So he started to gain realizations that material life is useless. But still he wanted the crocodile off of his leg. And then, when Lord Vishnu finally came, he came on Garuda's, on the back of Garuda, he descended down, and all the devas accompanied Lord Vishnu. And he, what did Gajendra do? Gajendra, he lost interest of even the crocodile being removed from his leg. Not that he lost interest so much, but his attention wasn't there anymore. It wasn't like, I'm calling Krishna so that he can remove this crocodile from my leg. You know where his attention went? Gajendra's attention went simply to, my Lord, I want to serve you. So in that pain, 1,000 years of the crocodile chomping on his leg, his voice was weak. He reached out with his trunk. I have a book that my son actually got from the library that talks about elephants. Did you know that elephants are one creatures in the forest that don't have any enemies? Even if you have no enemies, you can have a crocodile chomping on your leg. And in that state, he had his trunk of being, he was, you know, really distraught with the condition, and with his trunk, he reached out and grabbed a lotus flower on the bank of the lake, because that's all he could do. He took that lotus flower and he offered it to Supreme Lord. And that's the verse I'm going to read. In the midst of his suffering, his attention went to service to Krishna. Sonta sarasya urubale nagrihita artho. This is 8th canto, 3rd chapter, 32nd verse. Drishtva garut mati harim ka upata chakram ukshipya sambhujakaram giram ahakritran Narayana Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. Translation. Gajendra had been forcefully captured by the crocodile in the water, acute pain. But when he saw that Narayana, wielding his disc, was coming in the sky on the back of Garuda, he immediately took a lotus flower in his trunk, and with great difficulty, due to his painful condition, he uttered the following words. O my Lord Narayana, Master of the Universe, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer you my respectful obeisances. And he offered him the lotus flower. It wasn't, oh, finally Krishna has come. Oh, God. Oh, just what I wanted, the crocodile off my leg. His attention went to service. And when Vishnu saw that, he felt so moved. Vishnu stepped down from Garuda, pulled Gajendra onto the land, and while everybody was watching, took his chakra and cut off the head of the crocodile. And Gajendra received Sarupya Mukti. He received a bodily form similar to Vishnu. And the crocodile received back his Gandharva form, because he was a Gandharva in his previous life and he was cursed to become a crocodile. That's a different story, because of the time I can't get into it. So, even though, and this is the point I'm going to make later again, even though his capacity was very limited, even though he was struggling for thousands of years, he went above and beyond to serve Krishna. Because he felt grateful, actually, for Krishna's presence in his life. He felt grateful for the remembrance of Krishna. He felt grateful for his intimate personal relationship with Krishna. And that's what really mattered to him. It wasn't that he didn't have an issue with the crocodile. It wasn't that he wasn't relieved when the crocodile was taken away. But his main concern was, I don't want to forget you. Like Maharaj says, I don't want to forget you, my Lord. Even after the circumstances died down, you are what's important to me, not the circumstance. I'll read the purport. Very nice. The king of elephants was so very eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead that when he saw the Lord coming in the sky, with great pain and a feeble voice, he offered respect to the Lord. A devotee does not consider a dangerous position to be dangerous, for in such a dangerous position, he can fervently pray to the Lord in great ecstasy. Thus, a devotee regards danger as a good opportunity. When a devotee is in great danger, he sees that danger to be the great mercy of the Lord, because it is an opportunity to think of the Lord very sincerely and with undiverted attention. Prabhupada again quotes it. Tattenu kampam susumikshamana bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam. He does not accuse the Supreme Personality of Godhead for having let his devotee fall into such a dangerous condition. Rather, he considers that dangerous condition to be due to his past misdeeds and takes it as an opportunity to pray to the Lord and offer thanks for having been given such an opportunity. When a devotee lives in this way, his salvation, going back home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. This is really nice. Prabhupada is giving us a guarantee. You go back to Godhead if you can see challenges as Krishna's mercy. Guaranteed. In Brahma's words is Mukti Pade Sadaibak. When we can see this to be true from the example of Gajendra, who anxiously prayed to the Lord and thus received an immediate chance to return home back to Godhead. So, it's not too much time. I had a couple more slides, but I don't think I'm going to get to it. So as far as accepting, what is it that helps us to accept challenges in our life? Prabhupada quotes the verse, Tattenu kampam susumikshamano. Bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Bhunjana. Bhunjana means to enjoy or go through or suffer in this case. Bhunjana eva atma kritam. Eva means certainly. Whatever we're experiencing as a challenge, Atma kritam vipakam. Atma kritam means to be self-made. Vipakam is a reaction. So whatever we experience is a reaction to our own creation. So each of us have a body that's made in a certain way. We have a psychological makeup. We have a certain spouse in our life, maybe. We have certain children in our life, maybe. We have certain boss in our life, jobs, Shishi Radha Damodar Ki Jai. We have certain services, Shishi Radha Damodar Ki Jai. We have certain services in our life, and then we have personalities that we have to deal with in our service, right? That sometimes is an issue. Sometimes we have issues with capacity, our own capacity to do service, and that's a problem. Yes, all of this, where's it coming from? Eva atma kritam vipakam. It's our own creation. So devotee taking full responsibility of that, and this is a repeated theme in our seminar this weekend. So, a devotee takes full responsibility of this. So, Gajendra, in his example, he took full responsibility. And even Prahlad Maharaj exhibits the same quality. He takes full responsibility of the situation of being born in a demoniac family. He says, because of my own baddha swakarma bhir, I'm bound by my own karma, and so I'm in this particular situation. So, great devotees, they see like that. But then, they don't just stay with that sense of, okay, I have a challenge. Their attention goes to Krishna. Like Gajendra, he turned his attention to Krishna. And that's when purification starts to happen, and that's where progress starts to take place. And turning attention to Krishna has different flavors, right? It could be Bhagavad Gita. It could be the holy name. It could be the devotees of the Lord, and so forth. The Srimad Bhagavatam, the deity form of the Lord. So these are various gifts of Krishna's manifestation in the world. And as we turn our attention to Krishna in situations of challenges, we'll get the wisdom by Krishna's mercy, get the realization of how to deal with those challenges. And to take away the lessons of the what's the main thing out of this? It's my relationship with Krishna. And like Prabhupada says here, the realization, and it's a different flavors depending on the challenge. The realization is that he considers that the dangerous condition to be this past misdeeds, and he takes an opportunity to pray to the Lord and offer thanks for having been given such an opportunity. So he feels grateful for that opportunity that Krishna has afforded through the challenge, so that his relationship with Krishna can be enhanced. And there's so many in our challenges, there's so many lessons that we learn that help us become closer to Krishna. Sometimes in our relationship with other devotees and something like that. And what we learn, perhaps one of the lessons, is we become soft-hearted, perhaps. We learn to become more soft-hearted of how to deal with another Vaishnava through that challenging relationship. If we stick with our service, like Gajendra, even in the midst of being bitten by a crocodile, his attention was on serving Krishna. So in the midst of our service, he didn't give up. We don't give up. And we stick with our service. We stick with chanting Hare Krishna and just tolerate the difficulties. We'll get realizations. One of them could be just detachment from whatever we're attached to in that service, so that we become closer to Krishna. Another is that we learn that, you know, we learn to be or Krishna's instrument to, in a challenging circumstance, to help the overall consciousness of the situation to go up. And that's very nice, very exciting, to be an instrument of Krishna, along with our own purification, to help with the overall consciousness and the group that we're dealing with. So these are realizations that help us become closer to Krishna, that Krishna gives us through the medium of us turning our attention to Him in the face of challenges. So it's a blessing. Okay. It's 5:35. I was supposed to end at 5:35. And there were more points, but Hare Krishna. That's all I can do for today. Thank you for your kind attention. And if there's any comments or questions or embellishments you'd like to add, please. Yes, Prabhuji.
Two incidents I just would like to bring to the midst of the Kuru assembly. When she was facing the calamity, she first looked at the exalted personalities that are available in the assembly, that is Bhishma, Drona and other exalted, and also towards her husbands, which in situation where nobody was able to help her. At last, she tried to prevent the Dushasana to disrobe her with the best of her capabilities. Having she lifted both hands and then called out Krishna. We know this later part of the story. Similarly, when we have the mother Yashoda trying to try baby Krishna, the scriptural incidents are too short. Two fingers too short. Was said that one is the effort of the devotee to attain Krishna, the other one is the mercy of Krishna. So, in our presentation, I am in confusion to understand which one we should immediately look for the shelter of Krishna, or we should try our efforts within our resources available.
I can share with you Prabhupada's purport from a particular verse of Prahlad Maharaj. Again, I'm studying Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, so... and perhaps other devotees can add. In Prahlad Maharaj prays to Narsingha Devi, he says, Balasya neha sharanam pitarau Narsingha Nartasya chagadamudanvati majjatavnam Taptasya tat prativedhirya ihanja sheshtas Tavad vibhot anubritam tadupekshitanam. Where he's saying that, you know, a parent cannot save a child, or a dying man cannot be saved by medicines, or a drunk person cannot, a diseased person cannot be saved by medicines, unless they are favored by you. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains, it's not that the parents say, oh, I can't take care of my child anyway. Prahlad Maharaj said, so forget it, let the child take care of his own self. So the child is in trouble, let the child, you know, figure it out on their own. Or the child doesn't go to the parent for some shelter and so forth. Or that we don't take medicine if we're sick, etc., etc. It's not like we don't utilize resources of this material world. What the message was, and the message of that verse, is that the consciousness is not that my shelter is in those resources. I may use those resources. My shelter is in Krishna. And unless Krishna sanctions, those aspects of material resources cannot be helpful. And if Krishna sanctions, then those resources can be helpful, like medicine can be helpful, a parent can save a child, or a boat can save a drowning man. So we don't. It's not that we become callous, rather we internally, the inside is taking shelter of Krishna, knowing that unless Krishna wills and sanctions, it's not going to happen. So my efforts, your question was balance between effort and mercy. My effort is this could be circumstance specific, but I place as much attention upon Krishna and I address myself responsibly to the situation, but I don't kind of go crazy about it. So I don't like stop chanting to take care of my material problem. You know, we continue with our chanting and so forth. And within the time slot or within the resources that we have, we try to address the situation. If it doesn't get addressed, it doesn't get addressed. We keep moving on. We don't. That's my understanding. So now, depending on the circumstance, you know, it have to be adjusted where exactly the fulcrum is in our own personal lives. Would you like, anybody like to share something? Done? Oh. Prabhu, sorry. What's that? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. That's a challenge. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.